Welcome back to Tip TV Finance. It says that I'm here with Charles Long, but I think you're affectionately known as Charlie. Is that right, Charlie?
Yeah, Charlie.
Resources.
Charles, if I'm trying to be important.
Right. Resources analyst at Beaufort Securities, which I know that is correct, but the Charles Long thing, we'll have to change that.
It's up to you.
Charlie. Right, what are you looking at? You're the man of the moment, really, in the markets. You know, all your metals are, you know, heading for the stars on
they
the Trump
are, they
bump.
Are. The question is, where are they going to go next year? And why have they done what they've done this year? And I start off with a chart about iron ore.
Okay, let's have a look at that.
Because I think that shocked a lot of people. That's iron ore and Vale. Vale is the dark blue line. And I suppose at the beginning of the year, the UK stocks as well, the miners were pretty much oversold. They did look cheap.
As they had been for the previous 4 years.
But I mean, most people didn't own Anglo, because Anglo was kind of the
going bust,
the messy one,
yes,
or just a lower quality one.
Yeah.
And of course, that was the one that, you know, did the best by a country mile.
Yeah.
But the iron ore price is always the thing that, you know, forces the miners up, because most of them, apart from Glencore, you know, are iron ore producers, and it's the biggest part of their EBITDA. So this is what happened to the iron ore price in light blue, and there's Vale tracking it very nicely. And the question is, why did iron ore do that? Because the forecasts weren't expecting it. If you look at, I think the next slide, I have analysts' forecasts. So iron ore spot versus consensus. So the consensus forecast is the dark blue line, and it's trying to get closer and closer. And you can see at the beginning of the year, it's pretty low. And the reason for that is that the outlook statements from all the miners was pretty negative, concerned about China, lots of debt in the system, they can't carry on stimulating the real estate market. And all the, you know, Rio, BHP, they're all saying, you know, we're not looking at high iron ore prices. Now, I've read some interesting explanations for why iron ore has done what it's done. One of them was the coal market in China, and it's a bit of a spurious connection, but it may well be true. The Chinese government had banned coal mining on the weekend. Not exactly sure why. They banned coal mining on the weekend for the smaller coal mines.
It's the best time.
And it's the best time. And that took out a lot of coking coal from and thermal coal from the market in China. So that caused all the coal prices to go up, which is another sort of shock. They went up a lot this year, helping out the Aussie coal miners. But also what that meant was, if you're a steel producer and you've got a coking coal input, which is extremely expensive, it's costing you $300 a tonne or more, what you want is to use less coking coal and more high-grade iron ore. So there was demand for high-grade iron ore because you use less coking coal, which was the more expensive input. And as a result, the seaborne high-quality iron ore was in demand. And that was one of the things that pushed up the iron ore price. The other thing, I guess, more recently is the Trump effect. And speculation on the back of that, and you end up with an $80 iron ore price, which was way above what everyone was expecting.
But you got two factors there, which are just literally that's a sniper at 3 miles. I mean, you haven't got
a clue.
I mean, there's no way you work. I mean, obviously, I could work out Trump, but the Chinese, I mean, they really are a law unto themselves. I mean, their weekend holiday thing. I mean, you would never expect that.
They are, and it's also the unintended consequences of a coal regulation, which impacts the iron ore price. If, of course, that's exactly what happened. So just go on to the next chart, see what I've done next. I suppose the question is now, it's at $80. A lot of brokers this morning, actually, in the last couple of days, have been talking about dividends for the miners, for the UK miners, being, if you forecast spot, then there's going to be a lot more cash flow, and the dividends are going to increase. And I think that's probably true, even if the spot price does come down. So if iron ore prices go down to, say, $60, there's still definitely space for dividends to increase. But having said that, the miners primarily will follow the direction of the iron ore price. And do we think that the iron ore price is going to continue to stay at this level or even go up? I'm very cautious. I mean, we have buy recommendation on BHP. We've got whole recommendations on the rest of the diversifiers or the majors in the UK, but we'd be very happy to turn that to a sell very quickly if it looks like the iron ore price is going to fall over.
How much is the dollar, the price of the dollar, an influence? Because I mean, you could say that, you know, it's even better that iron ore. I mean, iron ore has done even better given how much the dollar has risen.
Yes.
I mean, presumably,
they're buying in dollars.
Yeah, if there was a normalization of rates and they went to 3-4%, which is another threat from Donald Trump's Twitter account.
Yeah.
Then you know, what would that do? And you know, you've got all those sorts of.
It should put pressure on the iron ore price because the Chinese can't afford to pay even more. We had this conversation, didn't we? Because Goldman Sachs put out a research report saying higher dollar should mean higher iron ore price, and no one could work it out. But and maybe I'm missing something. But anyway, I would have thought that the problem from the US point of view for China is potential US tariffs. You've got Chinese fixed asset investment coming down. The real estate market could easily fall over. And then what happens to the iron ore price and what happens to the miners as a result? So very cautious on that.
So it could still be a blip.
Definitely could be
a big
blip.
What's the true? I mean, at the moment you've got, you know, gold has just given everybody a total pie in the face. Is that the true metal? If there's or the true barometer where we should be at this stage? Because you've got the possible, you know, the normalization of rates, or people are going to stocks. The attraction of gold as a store of value
I mean, I think people are overly confident in the Trump effects. It's going to take him years, I would have thought, to have any real effect on. Does it the first 4-year period, the government doesn't really have, the new president doesn't really have an effect, and his effect might be more towards the end of his second period, and then he gets ousted.
But Michelle Obama will be in the second term.
I think it's going to take longer for Trump to have a positive effect. The US may well go into recession next year. Corporate earnings in the US are weak, so you could have a normalization, interest rates going up and then coming back down, you know, bonds going back up.
It's just a volatility nightmare, isn't it?
I'm afraid it may well not be, but that's my...
Good for traders, but I think you've got one more
just
slide.
Very quickly, nickel. I thought nickel was worth looking at because it's a bit more stable than iron ore. I think the fundamentals look very interesting. There's certainly a shortage of nickel ore coming out of the Philippines now, because you know the new Philippine government just basically banned all open pit mining.
So I enjoyed that, yes.
And
I love these decrees around the world. I mean, they really are getting more and more frequent, aren't they?
Yeah, well, politics is really, unfortunately, the thing you need to watch.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens there. But in the meantime, Charlie Long, resources analyst at Beaufort Securities, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Zach.